Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. For the past couple of years, in the first couple of months of the year, the economy looks really good. Things look like they're about to take off. And then things suddenly go downhill. Well, here we are again. We're near that halfway point, and we're seeing unemployment falling, stocks are rising, housing's looking better than it has in years. So now what? With me, Peter Fisher, Senior Director of the BlackRock Investment Institute, and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And Peter, where do you think we're headed?
Well, we're all trying to figure out where the Fed is headed and how the Fed is going to head for the exit. Now, Bernanke was really clear this week that he's going to begin winding down the $85 billion of purchases of bonds they do every month when their outlook for the labor market improves. He's also been really careful to make clear that when he stops buying these bonds, he doesn't think of himself as tightening policy. And actually, tightening monetary policy, raising interest rates, he thinks is far in the future.
Well, if we're at the point where the economy is starting to do well and the Fed needs to stop some of these extraordinary measures that it's been taking to get the economy going, Rana, when will the Fed do this? And is there a certain point that as they're managing it that maybe they might get into trouble or cause problems with the economy?
Well, as Peter said, there's various stages of this exit. And the fact that everyone is watching it so carefully, and we've just seen what we have over the last couple of days, the crash of the Nikkei on the back of this news that Ben Bernanke is maybe going to start tiptoeing a little bit in the other direction, is very telling because I think it shows how much of an effect central bankers have really had on bolstering asset prices over the last few years.
Do we need to look for particular warning signs, Peter, that as the Fed is beginning to change its policy, that maybe it's having a negative impact on the economy or a negative impact on the stock market?
Well, I think that the Fed is a little nervous about the net benefits of what they're doing are less obvious. I think they took out this insurance policy, $85 billion a month last September, because they were worried about Congress driving us off the fiscal cliff, raising taxes in December and cutting too much spending in March. And now that we're getting past that, the Fed realizes they've got to take away this insurance policy. It's a bit too much. And yes, there's going to be a disruption. The financial markets and the equity market will worry about this. But I think once we get past it, once the Fed begins to taper off, we're all going to realize that tightening monetary policy is a long way off.
So this is, in a way, the Federal Reserve trying to get back to normal after all these years of taking these really extraordinary steps to put money into the economy and try and get the economy going.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what's happening. I think now the big question, though, is what is normal? What is normal in the real economy? And something I know Peter and I have talked about and that he's concerned about, and I am too, is wages. Median wages have been flat for the last few years. We need to really start seeing some real wage growth, unemployment coming down, and a real economic recovery, not just asset prices going up.
Yes, I think actually we've got to be careful not to just assume we're going to get the good outcome. The good outcome is the economy accelerates and the Fed will have to worry about exiting the stimulus and beginning to tighten monetary policy. We could get the bad outcome, which you mentioned at the open, which is the economy starts to sputter again at mid-year. The Fed's really more worried about that, I think, than what happens if the economy picks up speed.
So it's really the Fed is trying to decide the moment at which it says, you know what, we're going to stop doing what we're doing, but we don't want to do it at the wrong time either.
Yes, Bernanke doesn't want to trip up the economy, but he is clear when he says they're going to do this when their outlook for the labor market improves, that means their forecast. So once their forecast is for a strengthening labor market, they're going to start withdrawing all this extraordinary stimulus.
You know, one thing that we haven't seen from what the Federal Reserve has been doing is much inflation. I mean, considering the amount of money that they're putting into the economy, we haven't seen a lot of that. Rana, do you think that maybe that might be a good thing to have some inflation to maybe get people's wages to go up a little bit, make a little more money?
Well, it's interesting. You know, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, there was a lot of talk that inflation, letting inflation rise would be a great way to take care of the deficit. Well, the deficit is now taking care of itself, as we know. I mean, I do think wages need to come up. Ultimately, when you have an economy like ours that is made up 70% of consumer spending, it's hard for me to imagine how you would have a really robust recovery without some sort of wage growth. But what's interesting is just how complex the entire global economy is right now. When you look about why the Japanese market went down the last day or so, it's in part because of the Fed, but it's also because the numbers for China came in weaker and that China is growing more slowly than we think it is, that Europe is now in the largest, longest recession since the creation of the single currency. So all of these things have a factor on our export economy and, you know, eventually the job creation in this country.
Well, really quickly, let me put you both on the spot. We're at this point where in the last couple of years, the economy has gone south. Where do you think we're going, Rana?
I'm cautiously optimistic, and I'll say this. I still think that the U.S. is the prettiest house on an ugly block, and we have that going in our favor, I guess.
Peter, what do you think?
I think we're growing about 2%, and as Rana says, that's pretty good compared to the rest of the world. But that means some quarters will grow 3%, but some quarters will grow 1%. And I don't see us really breaking out of that anytime soon, but it's pretty good. But it is time for the Fed to take away this extraordinary punch bowl.
Well, finally, let's look ahead to next week and some of the stories we're watching. Peter, what's on your radar?
Next Thursday, we'll get the University of Michigan Consumer Confidence Survey, and that's one of the things I look at every month religiously. Inside that is this issue Ron is talking about. They ask Americans how much they think their income is going to go up over the next 12 months. For most of the last 30 years, Americans thought their income was going up 2, 3% a year. For the last 4 years, zero. And they've been right. Median income's been flat. So I'm waiting to see when income expectations start rising, which will tell us households are feeling a lot better.
Rana, what are you looking at?
So I'm thinking about Europe. You know, as I mentioned before, Europe is in a recession. It could be a deepening recession, but there's a little glimmer of good news that came out of Germany in the last couple of days. The German Labor Ministry has decided to start exporting something aside from austerity to the rest of the peripheral countries. They're talking about taking Germany's vocational training system, which we've talked about on the show before, this idea of training young workers, giving them apprenticeships in companies, and exporting that to countries like Portugal, for example, and helping them really cope with their youth unemployment problem. I think that's a great sign economically, but it's also an important political signal that Germany realizes it has to start talking about something aside from cuts.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at wnyc.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Peter Fisher, the Senior Director at the BlackRock Investment Institute, and Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.